Oh shit.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Salty Show. How are you doing, Samantha?
Hey, hey, hey. I am here. I'm alive. Put my gloves on. Let's go. Let's duke it out. What do we got for me today?
So on this episode of The Salty Show, we are going to talk about, have you heard of the term passport men?
I have not. I don't know what this is. You have to enlighten me.
So, you know, I don't know how I got stuck into this TikTok battle. Not me. I didn't get stuck into the TikTok battle. I'm stuck in this algorithm where TikTok is sending me videos of both men and women's views on this passport men term. Okay, so here's the what it means.
Give it to us.
Basically, it means men are fed up with the modern Western female, and they are their lack of traditional whatever, and they're going to other parts of the world to go and find their loved ones. Now I know, look, I personally know what, three or four couples who have done this, okay, and are married.
What?
Okay, with
what?
Yes, with a foreign girl.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a growing trend, and it's not just the, you know, the wealthy, you know, because this used to be maybe a thing of the wealthy, you know. Mm-hmm. It is becoming common just for the general man, and there are websites that are built around this, tailoring this for men. And so then now there is a, and so the counter argument that I see on TikTok from females is this, first of all, the same women, they're the same anywhere in the world, and they probably just want the, you know, whatever, the citizenship or the residency.
Yeah.
And then they're gone.
Totally.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause you got to think about that. Right. So then there are these men who are, you know, who are going out thinking that they're going to go find a traditional woman out in the world outside of America because they're tired of American women. So I have a couple videos, okay? A couple TikTok
you know what
videos.
That means? Okay, yeah, show me the videos.
Let me show you these videos and then we will debate or discuss because I don't know right now, based on how you're talking, I think we're going to disagree on some of this stuff, but it's good. All right, so let me play you.
And they're called postmen.
Oh, it's called Blue Book Gentlemen.
Oh, Blue Book Gentlemen.
Passport men or Blue Book Gentlemen. Okay. So I'm just going to have to pick a couple of these, but let me share my screen here 1 second. That's funny. I'm glad you hadn't heard of this because you're going to get it fresh. I mean, you have heard of it.
No, I haven't heard of the term, but like this is one. They have all those shows on like Netflix and stuff that's like, you know, married, you know, at first sight or love abroad or whatever it's called. And they match people up and it's like a whole thing. But I mean, I'll watch this before I give you my opinions on it all.
Okay. So unfortunately, the first video that I saved is not there anymore. And this was a female one, but let me see if I can. Okay. So let me play first. I haven't seen this video. So I am on this algorithm that I am seeing both sides where I see women's response to Blue Book Gentlemen or Passport Men, and I'm seeing men's reasoning here. So let's watch a few of these videos and then we'll try to react to this concept.
This comment is so spot on. And for those that don't know what passport bros are, they are men that are just dating you for the sake of getting papers.
Oh, this is actually females who are becoming
long game. They're a patient. It can take 3, 4, 5, 6, even 7 years. They will wait it out. They will manipulate you into thinking.
See, now that this brings up a new. I'm sorry. Again, we're watching this video blindly, but this is actually a concept that women could be a victims of this as well, right? A foreign man who wants to date an American woman, and
totally.
All he wants is
on those shows. They have both examples.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so let's keep watching this, see what she says.
Thinking that you are their one and only, the love of their life, their shining star, when in all actuality, all they want is papers. Because when they do get their papers, they're going to turn around to either give papers to their wives that are back home, to their brothers, sister, cousins, or they can also turn around and marry somebody for money. Of course, after they divorce your ass. So don't fall for the okie doke. Like, beware of the passport bros.
This particular woman sounds like a nut. Passport bros is none of what she's saying.
Oh, okay.
We men from the United States of America going to foreign countries.
Okay, see, this is where I understood it as, yes.
Or any westernized society. We got our own money. We're putting our head down and working, trying to retire early, making investments, making business decisions, networking with other fellas. What in the hell is she talking about? See what happens? Fellas, I'm glad we got ahead of this. So they can't create the narrative for us like her.
This guy. Okay, I think we get the gist of it. Let me show you this other video that I did want to show you, and this guy who actually explains it. So this is actually a 1 minute video. Pretty succinct, but again.
Usual lane, but I keep hearing about passport boys. Let's talk about it. Apparently there's a growing movement. And apparently, there is racial equality when it comes to this movement, because white, black, Hispanic, not Asians, you guys don't have any problems, going to other countries to find themselves a wife. And apparently, this is making women really, really upset. And if you can find some of these videos of these women being salty, I invite you to find them, because they're pretty awesome. There's nothing better than someone screaming at you about how they don't care. Except they just made a 3-minute video about how they don't care. You know, these two things don't coalesce. But moreover, I'm behind this as a concept much more than I am things like MGTOW. I think MGTOW is a defeatist mindset. I think it's much better to consider going elsewhere to find that partner.
So there's something, again, let's talk about the Western woman. The modern Western woman and compare, and I know there is a difference. The reason I know there's a difference is because and even the Americanized woman. So, for example, a first generation Latina versus, you know, few generations in America will have a different mindset when it comes to marriage, relationships, childbearing, child rearing. So there's differences there. And so men are wanting traditional women in, and I think it's mostly on, I think a lot of men, the sexual revolution has been a detriment to both sexes. Okay. I think initially men thought this is great. I think women initially thought this is awesome, right? We have the freedom, the liberty to choose, and we can be as promiscuous as men and there be no consequences. And I think as time is going and as decades pass, people are realizing that it wasn't everything that they sold, right? This idea that you could have countless partners and there be no repercussion to that.
I agree. You're right. Like, the roles have changed. And for your saying, like, first generation until now, you know, but when I see this and I hear, and it's like, oh, I'm going overseas to find this, you know, a woman, we're tired of like American women. And it's, and to me, honestly, immediately, I think like, you're a loser. And not because you can't go into sites and like connect with someone and actually be like, oh, they're from overseas. Okay, that just works. But to actually have to say, oh, I don't want anybody from America because they're not fulfilling these X, Y, and Z roles that like we've all grown up in, one, but two, it's like someone from another country, you're right. America, they do not have the same freedoms. They don't have the same, like, there's so many differences. And so it's like, again, I feel like it's saying, oh, I don't want to say like get an American woman, but like, I want someone that's like more docile, maybe doesn't speak the language or I have to work with, or just wants to like cater to me. But it's like, no other person's going to do that because they realize, like, not to be rude, but like, you ain't shit. That's what it feels like to me when I hear that.
So
I'm
so,
like, you can get on sites and you can do whatever you want, but.
Well, okay. Let me play it from a guy who is in his, almost mid 40s. Okay. who is in the dating world. And I know you're making a generalization, so I'm not going to personalize this, but let me put it from this approach. There have been multiple instances when I'm dating somebody and I do realize the mindset. And initially for me, it has always been, okay, I will categorize this person as, all right, this would be somebody who I can have fun with, but it's not going to be somebody long term. And I think the longer that time goes by, and this is affecting both men and women, and both men and women are contributing to this. I'm not passing blame here. I think I'm gonna approach this from a we were sold lies, right? We were told women are like men and they want to have sex as often as men with as many partners as they do with men. That's what society told women for a long time. And with this freedom, and that equals freedom, right? Having that ability and doing it equals freedom. And whereas in traditional places, countries, that concept or those values still haven't propagated to those countries. There are still people who say, well, no, you meet somebody and that person that you marry is the person that you're going to have kids with. And you know what I mean? Like, and it's going to be forever or whatever, you know? Whereas here in the Western world, there is, to your point, there is a transition that's happened. I don't think it's been for good. The divorce records show that it hasn't been for good. And even historically in the United States, I always bring this up. Even historically in the United States, partners stayed together for longer, even though life was harder back then. You know, we enjoy so many commodities today and have so many luxury. We live in luxury, dude. And yet couples can't make it work. And then if you compare it to back then, couples stayed together longer, and it benefited the family. It benefited, you know, children to have both parents. And so anyways, I'm going to bring it back to this whole concept of men leaving. So you think that by men leaving, they're just going to, they can attract somebody here in the United States. But let's say a man who can, a man who's attracting many women and who decides to go to another country. What do you think about that choice? And do you think that's something that, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, I don't think that it's, you know, I wouldn't want to label it good or bad. I would just label it, that's where that person is. Mm-hmm. But if you're telling me, that's like saying, okay, here's a group. I mean, even with social media, we are able to connect with more people than we ever have. But like, as mm-hmm. you said, more people are lonely as they've ever had. So there's, you know, there's a lot of validity to the things that you're saying, but I don't think it necessarily goes back down to, women aren't, you know, fulfilling this role and they're specifically looking for a woman to do these things. Well, if you're out here in the world talking to women, you're saying every single person you meet in America is like opposite of that. One, I just don't believe that, because I know there are a lot of women here that, and we've talked about this on the shows, that like really they want to be stay-at-home wives. You know, they don't want to work. Like, we have that conversations, and I mean, we can go into probably like, well, they want to stay at home, but then they don't want to cook and clean, and so that could be like, there's you know, there's, would you say,
where are they? Send me to this website.
They're out there. You know what? They probably have one. They probably have midfarmers.com. They probably have like I want to be a stay-at-home mom.com.
Farmers. No. See, there's something that happens. If, for example, if I'm online and I say I want a traditional woman, immediately, even if it's well-intentioned, I think there's a bad connotation to that term, traditional, right? Because people, oh, well, what does he want me to be in barefoot mm-hmm. in the kitchen and raising kids? You know what I mean? Like, that's how women will interpret that. And it doesn't mean that way, it not necessarily, right? I think there is an understanding of roles, and a lot of men.
Well, but we've talked about that before too. The roles you're saying, you know, again, like, okay, you're cooking or you're cleaning or you're like managing the house. And, but like, if you're also working and you still expect those same things, like it can't be the same. Like there's got to be the now a right. work. And if that person, if you're the one working and then, and again, are we talking about those things when we're in these relationships? Are we establishing that? As much as we talk about communication, like, have you told your partner and had these conversations like, hey, you know, you're not working, you're gonna stay at home. This is like what I would want. This is what I think should happen like here while if I'm doing this. And that might not sound great, but it's gonna.
Let me ask you this in general, okay? Just in general, not exceptions here, in general. And I always will say this because in general, it's good to wear seatbelts. Will there be that instant where somebody's wearing a seatbelt and they crash and the car burns up and they cannot undo their seatbelt and they die because they wore that seatbelt? Yes. Should we tell people don't wear a seatbelt? No, we still tell people wear a seatbelt mm-hmm. because generally, if you crash, that seatbelt's going to save your life.
Right.
So we make policy and you know rules and whatever and live by certain things that are generalities. So in general, for most people, not the people who are the exception, in general, would you say that most women aren't attracted to a man who doesn't have a job that she's going to support?
True statement.
Yes. In general, most women don't want to support a man.
Correct.
In general, most men don't care about how much a woman makes. In general. And so because of that, why do we as a society tell women, you want the same things men do? You want to that career, that success, that this and that. You want that much as much as men do. Now, what's happened, in my opinion, is now you've thrown a bunch of women into the workforce to now where they're at the same level as the man who now, how are they going to be attracted to a man who makes as much as them? They don't. You see what I'm saying? When this is important for women to be attracted, men don't care. Men don't care how much a woman makes. It's in general. Are there the exception of that one guy who's going to be like, well, I need to know how much she makes because she's going to be bringing the, you know, contributing to this. Yeah. Are there those men who exist? Sure, they do. Is that the norm for men? No. And so I think to deny that, and we do try to deny that as a society, and what we've convinced ourselves is because, well, no, that's how we were raised. We were raised to think that there are these roles and we need to shake it up and redo this. And it's, I don't, in my opinion, I don't think it's just cultural, societal, something that's taught in school. I think it's in our very nature, in our very biology, in our very being.
I agree with parts of that. And I think, you know, things stem from a certain part of, like, I don't want to use the word oppression, but so for instance, say back in the day, you know, all women were not allowed to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And you're right. There is a bigger chunk that don't want to and that don't care.
Right.
There's then a flip side of it, ones that do, or who are in situations where they were widowed or where whatever happens, where they had to then take on some roles and try to do some things to like earn for their family, right? When it wasn't necessarily always like, that wasn't the case. The family unit was like the number one. And so if you didn't have a husband, like something was wrong with you, right? And you were, and I think that's why it turns, because then a group, as we know, a small group can fight for something and say, hey, I just want to be able to, if something doesn't happens to my husband, or you know what, I actually am really smart and like have a passion for like teaching, you know, say it was just all male teachers. And then like, I would like to teach. And it's like, so people are fighting for these little things and more people come along to do that. But then to your point, there's a push somewhere. There's somewhere else that takes that to a different level and puts a different initiative in there. And then it flips. So where it started from was just like, hey, I find joy in this. I would like to, you know, be with my kids, but like, you know, I taught them at home, or maybe I don't want to teach my kids. I want to send them off to school, whatever it is. Or yes, I want to be in the workplace. And like, for me, I have a hunger to like climb the corporate ladder and I don't want kids. That should be okay. And then and it's kind of, like I said, flipped. So whether people saw that and they're like, hey, well, like the Joneses keeping up with them. Well, you know, that woman works and you know, she's got all this stuff because she does this little side job. Well, I want to do a little side job. And it's like, well, as long as you keep up with your like healthy responsibilities. So then the woman's like trying to do everything. You know what I mean? So how we got there, I don't always, I'm not quite sure, but I know that it doesn't stem from this just like wanting to dismantle everything that we've, you know, where we're at, but it did need to evolve. And I just don't believe that we're always caught up with that evolution in a balanced state, because we should be able to have both of those things. Well, if that works for your family, great. You know?
Well, let me put it this way. There are certain so instinctual things. For example, if you're walking down the street and out of nowhere, somebody jumps up and yells at you or screams, what is your body? How is your body going to react? It's instinctual. It'll tense up and you'll flinch and you'll be like, pull away or scream or whatever. Yeah. It's instinctual.
Right.
And we say, well, you know what? We as a society need to change that. Let's change how we react to that. And while I hear you, okay, maybe we can get to a point where we can change that reaction that we have by continually shocking people constantly. And eventually you become immune to it. And you're like, okay, well, I don't feel anything anymore. Right. Whatever. Sure. We can program ourselves to do that. But there's a biological reason for that. Right. Whether it dates a million years ago, however long ago, wherever in the trajectory of the timeline of the humans, you know, if you believe in whatever, the evolution, because we can take, I mean, I believe in the Bible interpretation of where humans come from. But if you're a traditional Christian, you already know that there's roles. And so there's no point in arguing from that point. So let's argue from the conventional wisdom of the secular world, which is evolution. Okay, so if we evolved and we come to this point, and at a certain point, we built this mechanism that alerts us to danger and we instantly react. We don't have time to think and assess. It's just instinctual. Okay. So then we can say, okay, there's reasons why these things occurred and have happened. Why do the sexes have different roles, right? If we were both the same, then both men and women could get pregnant and there would be no role for there would be no purpose for. If both are the same, then evolution or God, whoever you want to attribute this to, would have made us the same. We would want the same things. We would interpret the same way. We would think the same way, but we're not. And so what does that mean? That means that there are certain things that a woman can bring that a man can't, and that a man can bring that a woman can't. Okay. So then once we understand our roles and we say, okay, sure, one woman out of, you know, whatever, a bunch, could have the say, hey, you know what? I want to be that person. Let's just think back. I want to be the person who goes out and hunts for whatever. I want to be that person. Okay, sure. Prove it. Does then the village change the policy to say all women? No, because if you start doing that, then the whole village goes hungry, because in general, men have the physical attributes to be able to provide. Right. Okay. So this is why I say, are there exceptions? Sure. Let's allow people and not create barriers. But at the same time, we as a society shouldn't say, hey, let's make a blanket policy that completely changes this and uproots it. And so now we have, again, the message is, you know, both men and women have to work. And if a man does not want his wife to work, he's a misogynist. He is a passport man who can't find a woman here in the United States. And I think the way that I look at it, as this movement gets bigger, I understand this movement. I understand this movement because I see it very often, especially in the dating world. I'm still in that world. And more women are not, Western women, are not going to put up with a man who doesn't want them to have a career or prefers that they have other duties other than him. Because, and here's another point, another layer. I know I've said a lot. I'm sorry. I know I'll let you talk here. But there's another layer to this, which is, again, to the point that I made, when a woman gets to the same level as a man, as pay. There's something that happens, right? Because then she's like, well, I don't necessarily need you. What are you here for? You just leave me dirty socks and this and that. What do you bring to the table that I am not already doing for myself? So we've elevated women and left men at the same place. And now there's nothing that man can offer that woman. And that's why you see that separation. So now what a man says, well, you know what? I have to go find somebody who is going to want to do the role so that we are compatible and we're not competing against each other.
So yeah, you don't have to do any work. You hit it on the nail, though. You said a great point. You're like, oh, so now men were left here. And now what are they contributing to? But that's the thing. There's more than just that you can. Like,
what do you mean?
It's not, now it's not just about, you can't just bring money. You can't just provide, but like, this is the thing. People, you know, you say that, but like, someone can provide and be like, okay, this person, you know, like they depend on me, right? They're dependent on me because I'm making this. And like, so that means I can be nippy. I can have an attitude. I can not do these things. And I can be, and I'm not saying that people go around and like, are trying to be this way, or they're going around intentionally just being like nasty to the person they're with. But you also know that in relationships, there's complacency. There's, you're just like, you know, it doesn't mean you're really serving each other. And it can come to a point where, you know, there's more than just, hey, this financial thing I can bring to the table. Well, if you're not bringing that, well, then what else are you bringing? And you just said, oh, well, there's nothing else to bring, but there are things that you can bring. You know what? A person who, if you're on the same level, want, like to be kind, to like, think about, you know what I mean? No. If you're so busy working and you're like, oh, this is why I could never be romantic or whatever. No, this is true.
Stop it. To be kind. Okay. So hold on. So let me put it this way. First of all, to be kind, please. You know how many women leave kind men? I think this is common. I know that you think this is that it's unique, but I think it's very common. I hear this all the time. And I think what's happening is this is a microcosm of a bigger thing, where what's happening is both men and women in the Western world are now at the same level. Whereas before there were roles, right? And I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying what it used to be. And women used to be submissive to men, but now that's changing. And I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear this. But I don't mean that in a bad way. I think women are by nature will be submissive to a good leader. I think women yearn for a great leader.
I agree. 100% agree with that. 100%.
Yes. And okay, so
innately, even the ones that are like, I'm this, this, and that, CEO, whatever, want that still, to your point of innately and roles that are just in us as humans.
Right.
We do want that. We want to be able to like, shine into our stuff, but ultimately, like, lead me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, be that's okay. Yes.
Okay. And so then I can say this about most men. Most men don't yearn to be led. Most men yearn to lead. There are some men who don't know how to because they didn't learn it, because society didn't place that emphasis on them, whether it was upbringing, being brought up by a woman, right? And this is why I tell, you know, I had a little argument with a friend of ours who, she was telling me a story about her boy, that he was getting picked on at school and that she went in and made a ruckus at school. And I was like, don't do that. I'm like, don't do that.
Oh,
that's the worst thing that you can do for a boy.
Oh no.
Yeah, exactly. I said, what you need to do is tell that boy to turn around and punch that kid who's teasing him and making his life miserable. Cause apparently they were like, you know, poking at him, whatever. And I was like, he needs to turn around and just clock somebody. And I promise you that'll be the last. She got mad at me. Because she was like, no, this is not the way. And because I get it. She's a woman, but I told her, look, those boys are going to bother him and he's got to learn this lesson early in life that he needs to stand up for himself. But I promise you, as soon as he turns around and you tell him, clock that kid, even if he's much bigger than him, but he clocks him, guarantee you that bully will either stop or something will happen within that kid that is going to wake him up. I promise you. I'm so glad my mother never did that for me when I was being teased in school. Anyway, so
So there are things that boys, men and women are different. Boys don't yearn to be led. It doesn't. And the men who do are not in their nature. And so if women were to admit, like you just did right now, yes, you know what? A great leader, sure. I would willingly give everything, all aspirations that I have for a great leader, somebody who led my family and blah, blah, blah. I totally get that. So then the question is, do we uproot society, or do we then say, no, let's create better men? And I think for the last 40, 50 years, we have said we need to build up women because there are jerks out there and we need to protect women. Okay. But we did it at the expense of boys. And now there are generations of men who don't know how to be leaders in this world.
That's definitely
and
something to really chew on, because like we say, you know, there's consequences for all the things that we do, and not knowing what that repercussion really would be. And the fact of, you know, I truly believe in all ships rise. I do. And so, in this situation though, it's little like, okay, we're letting women do this, but it's affecting, to your said, the boys. But again, if that family unit was together, then there would be that other person, that other side, a man to say, no, this is how we're going to handle it. The woman and man talk about it, maybe disagree, figure out what you're going to do to lead our family. And those things get played out. But when it's only you, you're doing the best you can. So I agree with that. And it's, how do we work within that now? And I think they have like some really great programs out there, but like not everyone's involved in it. Like what's the ones like the men programs, like men leading men, or like the guys who go and help, you know what I mean? I'm screwing that up, but I'm not sure the names.
No, I get
but,
what
like,
you're saying.
And those are needed like everywhere.
So let me ask you this. If you were to paint, and I'm not making you personalize this for yourself. If you were to paint the ideal way that it could work for men and women, what would that look like? Let's say a man living up to the fullest of his potential and a woman who is his partner living to the fullest of her potential. What does that look like from a daily life? Do we know what that looks like?
You know, I think it looks different for each person, to your point of like, what's important to you? What do you value? What is your definition of success? What is your definition of?
Pause. Okay. Okay. So yes, it is different for everybody. But again, let me put it this way. Every woman gives birth, right? Through whether it's C-section or through the vaginal area, right? I'm going to draw pictures.
Stop saying it like you don't know that area.
I have no idea.
Well.
I've never been there.
He's like, "All you're all discomfort. You're like, you know, you the know, place I mean, down like, there. Yeah, where, yeah, yeah. I don't even know what happens.
I'm naive to this. Anyway, so in general, this is how it happens. Are there exceptions where, you know, the baby's head doesn't turn or whatever? But in general, this is why I focus on generalities, because then we get into that. Well, like, not everybody is the same. Yes, I understand that there's not everything is identical. However, we can create a exoskeleton or a structure which we can build upon, right? And we can say, in general, this happened. So in general, what does a successful couple family look like, in your opinion, in this modern era of the revolution, freedom of women in the Western world and the way we're moving, instead of going backwards to how it used to be? What does that future look like in your opinion? And I'm just curious. I'm not trying to argue.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest thing, like I said, without making it too personal, but generalizing, I think that, you know, people, I know I don't want to be limited. I don't want to be told like, I can't do this, or like, you know, pretty much that's what
motivates me.
So in the realm of women and like living, you know, your best life, you know, obviously in your means and doing that things, like, I still want to be led. I still want a unit and to be able to do things as a team and have the discussions. I think the discussions and then doing what's the next step that makes sense for us as a unit, would make me happy that I'm in those conversations and have a voice. It's the voice. It's feeling like that I'm heard. Doesn't mean it always has to go my way, but I think that goes a long way into feeling fulfilled and that whatever I'm doing, it's with a purpose, and that it's for a bigger purpose. And I think that's what people yearn for. They want that feeling, and they want to feel free. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think, at least.
Let me ask you this question. If do you think there are certain that men have certain obligations? Like if you were to advise a man who's looking for a potential wife, would you say, look, here are, in general, obligations that a man has to his wife?
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's important for him, one, like we talked about, being a provider. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that obviously that has like the financial aspect to it, but it doesn't mean you have to be balling out of control. But being a provider means that, I'll tell you this, and this is true, is that when I've talked to my girlfriends, and, you know, women are spenders and like men aren't, and like you need someone who is going to be fiscally responsible. And that does mean telling you no. Like that does mean, you know, they have all those things on TikTok and stuff or Instagram where it's just like, oh, I get all these, you know, boxes from Amazon. And it's like my husband, like, stop shopping. Like we, you know, need that. Like that's fiscally responsible. That's the leadership that's involved in being a provider, not just because you're making billions of dollars, right? So that aspect for sure, like have your finances on lock. You're securing your family as well as you can for the long haul. You're preparing. Like a lot of women, I would say, don't know that much or is not as interested in, you know, stocks and financial and like whether we should or not. I don't think we just find it that exciting, but men, like it's just, to your point, we all have roles and we all have our unique, we can bring things to the table. And I think that's one of the really positives about men. And I think you have to really have that on lock for a man.
So one of the obligations you would say for men, and I would agree, that he needs to be a provider. And that means from a standpoint of financially, and I agree, completely agree with you. So here's a question. What do you think is an obligation for women?
So
I always bring this up because I don't think it's your fault.
I agree because
I think it's society.
Yeah, I honestly, when we break it down like that, you know, and I agree because what I want to say in my mind is like, well, if like he's doing this, then like you should do that. And part of me is like, ooh, don't say that because it kind of goes really falls into this traditional role. Yes. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. So there's that one. But then two.
But see, look, here's. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish. Point to what?
No, it's. I mean, those are really my feelings. I like choke up. So I'm just like, well, what I think. But then I don't want to do those things. So I'm just like, wait, does that really have to be my obligation? Like, is that like. And better to your point, I don't know really what it is outside of what I saw that it used to be. Like my grandma, she was a teacher, but you know, that's a smaller kind of thing. But before she didn't work, but I know she cooked every meal. It was homemade. It was three times a day. It was, you're serving your man, you're bringing it back. Like there's a lot of, I don't want to say the word catering because it's not a bad thing, but it's a lot of like, your role is like, I want to say like it's nurturing your family and ensuring that like, yeah, your home is like your business, your home is, you're the CEO of that home. You're making sure that like, you know, whether it's clean, whether there's food on the table, where, you know, you could be a good cook and you're like stuff. They love it.
You do acknowledge that that's very unpopular for women, right? Like saying that in today's day and age is frowned upon. And yet at the same time, society doesn't frown upon when people say a man needs to, you know, have his shit together and be making book. In fact, I've seen videos of like the other day I saw this video of and it was in Spanish. The girl, I think it was in Spanish, the girl telling the guy, hey, you can't be bringing me to Applebee's, you know, on a first date. You know, I'm more high class than that. She was telling him this. And this is our first date. Why would I take you to somewhere? And then, you know, everybody on the comments is telling him, run, man. Like that girl is not interested in being a supporter. She's interested in just money. And while I know where that's coming from, where she's coming from, right? Where she wants to not have to worry about that. What I would say is that women have an obligation to be supportive for their husband. It's in your nature. You guys are nurturing. And it's in male's nature to lead. And what I would say about both sexes is that there's a lot of people who are in both camps who don't know how to be that for the other person. There are a lot of men who haven't learned how to be financially responsible and don't know how to maintain a house be a provider. There's a lot of men who don't know that. They know instinctually and they want that, but they don't know how to do that. And there's a lot of women who want to be submissive and supported and nurturing to her husband, but she doesn't like the sound of it. And she hasn't learned that this is it's in our biology, it's in our freaking nature. And I think if society were more open about that and saying, hey, look, this is how we are, folks, and this is the human nature. And okay, with that knowledge, and we acknowledge that, okay, how do we build upon this? And how do we, without both sexes coming at each other and one saying, well, you just want my money. And another one, well, you just want me to be a slave. And it's like, well, no, it's a partnership, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I always will ask that question because, again, to the point that I want to make is I'm on that online stuff. And I know the mentality when I read some of the profiles and I'm like, oh, my God. And I wonder if this girl would like a man to put on his profile, I want to be a wife. Who's going to be, do certain things that you're like, I know for a fact it would not come off well, but a girl can very well put like, I'm not finding somebody who makes less than me.
This is what I was thinking of when you were saying that stuff too, is that like, I think if we could, I think, like you said, we all want this. We all have this kind of innately in us. But we have to soften those pictures because it's so far extreme for either side to say it's like, oh, I'm a slave or like, you just want me for my money. It goes to the extremes instead of the partnership. It's the same thing. Like right now there's like videos. It's like, oh, it's like, why don't you, they've tricked you into like working and you're out in the work field. And you could just be at home doing nothing. But like, that might be appealing to you, but it's not to me. But like, how can we make it where like, it doesn't have to be, oh, well, I can stay at home and do nothing. Well, I don't want to do nothing. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't sound great to me. Just be like, oh, I can just sit here all day. Like that's boring to me. Like I couldn't do that anyways. Like, so it's like, how do we soften or how do we make these roles attractive? You know what I mean? To the sense of like, and I think that's when you go back to like the biblical stuff and how, when you take it from, and truly, I literally have a book and it's, I'm going to show you this. This is probably, this has helped me a lot, but yet I'm not finished with it because I stop reading it because I get annoyed. And as you can see how my relationship is, this is a really really great book.
Becoming a Happy Wife. It's, okay.
31 Days to Becoming a Happy Wife. And it's like biblically based.
Okay.
But it is so good. It really is. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because these things are saying like softening these roles when I'm reading it. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's just like cult garbage, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. No, but in the same time, I can see that. I'm like, they just want me to like be a, down. No, but then it's always turned and like you do see the way it's of servitude. And when you want to be happy, and what is your actual, what's the reason? What's the goal? Do you want a happy marriage? Do you want a fulfill, success. And then how do you do that internally? How do you do that for you? So what, like for the one example, it's like in your household, it's like, and this got me, it was like, you wake up every day where you walk in and you see your husband and you don't smile and you just walk over to the stove and do whatever the thing is. And the whole point was like, when you walk in and you smile, what kind of household are you creating? Like what kind of environment? So instead of placing, this is just a really small example, but how you can turn the things that you do. And it's as simple as that. We're like walking, like, what is the temperature of my house? And that has to do with like what I'm bringing into it. Like when someone comes into my home, I want them to feel love. I want them to feel like this is the best place they want to be. But like walking into a room, not smiling, not talking, you know what I mean? But that's on me to control. And that's kind of where more of it's about. But then how do you do that when you feel like, and they go through great examples of like, when you're feeling underappreciated or you're feeling like they just did this and they just told me that, you know what I mean? How do you keep trying to be that best person when this other person you feel is not holding up maybe their bargain or how they used to be or whatever? But then truly what happens is when you start doing those things and you make those changes, it's infectious. And slowly and surely the stuff happens, but it's work and it's a lot to do inner work. But anyways, I'm going off on a tangent, but like,
No. I like it.
You know, it's a softening of those ideas that I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And then it's just like, you're reading it and you're like, okay, well, I see why that's working. And like, hey, they have a long marriage or they have this, but mine's not working. So like, I'm doing something wrong right now. I need to figure out what to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, and the idea that no one's ever been in your spot before is ridiculous. Like we are repeating history. So someone has been there, someone has done it, and like, and they've done it well and they've done it poor. And you can figure out what that is. I mean, you talk about that about history and about America and about government all the time. Like, we can learn from these other things. Mm-hmm. And if we keep doing this and just trying to figure it ourselves, like, it's not going to work.
Yeah. See, that's what I think. That's why I think there's a big problem, is because the sexes have been pitted against each other in competition. And I don't think that's what it is. In order to have harmony, we have to both acknowledge that we need each other. But it right today, and again, this is just the era that we're in. Today, you more hear women saying, I don't need no man. You know, it's very rare where you're going to find a guy who says, I don't need a woman. You know, like, men don't say that. Men don't even think like that. Because I think this, here is where I think society has done a disservice to women. Is telling, oh, you don't need no man, girl.
And you know when they say that, they know they want one, though. They know they want one. That's the thing. It's like, you might say, I don't need one, but it's not that you don't want one. You're saying that because of the situations and what you've been in that you're like burned and you're like, someone hurt you and like, you haven't actually dealt with some issues you have, because then you keep attracting the same type of people who are doing the same type of things. And that's on you too. But so then you're like, I don't need no man. But it's like, you're not happy and you actually want one. So don't.
You do.
So that's just a defensive mechanism to try to like
negative energy.
Feel better about your situation and yourself. It's like, you know, it's okay to want one. It's okay to say like, I would like one.
You know, it's funny. I am
crazy.
This past weekend, just random. I don't know why random shit happens to me sometimes. But so I was sitting at the, you know, because I regular this bar called Sensi's, so close to Santisi, but. And it's an Italian pizza place.
I mean, I know. I was about to be like, this is a Twilight Zone.
I know, dude. Anyway, so I'm at this bar, and across the bar, there's a couple, you know, and they're like, I can tell that they're having some argument. I don't know what's happening, but they're barely talking, whatever. And I'm playing my music, right? So when my music comes up, you know me, I'm singing, you know what I mean? Like, turn up, whatever, you know, I don't know what I was singing at that time. And the girl, this is the random ass shit happened. Like, so this girl, I think she was tipsy. She comes and sits right next to me. Cause you know, I'm like bullshitting with the bartenders and with the guy next to me. I'm like just laughing, whatever, you know, and she comes over and she grabs my arm and she's like, I like your smile. Your smile is so contagious. I want to hang out with you. So I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to hit on this girl, you know what I mean? She wasn't ugly, she wasn't pretty, but whatever. I'm not trying to hit on her. And her man's like right there. And I just call him over. I'm like, hey, get over here before I get in trouble. You know, I don't want you. And so he comes over and I can tell she's tipsy, whatever. And she's like, you are awesome. You know, I like your smile. It's contagious, whatever. And then so I go to the bathroom. This guy, the husband, follows me and he's like, hey man, thanks, you know, for, you know, and I'm like, are you guys all right? And he's like, nah, we're just had a little whatever. And I'm like, yeah, man, look, I understand relationships. They're freaking tough, you know, but stick it through. You know, that's what I'm just trying to, you know, encourage this guy because he was like bummed out because I thought he thought his wife or his lady, I don't even know if they're married. I didn't ask him, but his girl was going to leave him that night. I'm like, oh shit, poor guy. You know, I know the feeling. I know the feeling of, you know, being at the verge of, oh shit, I fucked up. But, you know, being on this side.
What'd you do when that happened?
What do you mean?
When you're like, I'm on the verge of, man, I effed up. Like, what did you do? Like, so then you knew that you did something. What did you do?
Yeah, I've lied to avoid hurting somebody's feeling. You know what I mean? Like, no, okay. I mean, yeah. Look, I told you one story, and I might remove this, but there was this one story where this girl was very jealous, and I had friends, and my friends wanted to hang out, so I told her I'm going to bed. I lied to her.
Okay.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And, and was I out?
It's like Nelson checked in here.
Yeah. Was I out cheating on her? Was I out doing? No, I was. I was just hanging out with my friends. I'm just having a great time. And but it, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I was a liar. Exactly. And so, you know, I and during that time, she was giving me the cold shoulder. We would go somewhere and she did exactly what that girl did to him, which is, oh, there's a guy over there who smiled at me. Oh, I'm going to go talk to him right in front of him. You know, it's stuff, bullshit like that. And he's like, oh, fuck. You know, you feel like an idiot. Anyway, because girls know, girls, you guys are good at hurting men. You think you're not, but. You guys are like the best masters at it. I think we stumble into it.
We all affect each other in different ways. I mean, you know?
I think men are, I think we're goofy and we stumble into shit to avoid drama.
Goofy? No, y'all.
In general, you know I think men get in trouble because we're like, I thought I was going to be, you know what I mean? That's how we get in trouble. We're not, Whereas you guys think in layers.
You didn't want to deal with the conversation to begin with. So instead of just being like, hey, this is a situation,
It's like you just don't want to go through it. Whereas a woman would be like, if a woman's going to lie, she's going to create so many layers and backstories.
I hear you. Mama Jules in the house.
What? Who are you talking to?
Mama Jules is in the house.
What was she doing?
There's a festival at that school today, and so she's going to help set it up.
Oh.
And Eliana's at school, so she's going to just stay with her while she sets up. And then it's like a Halloween thing, so she'll come by and get the tickets. And anyways, but we'll go there later after I pick up the baby. But
all right. Well, we're going to close out this episode then, because I think we did an hour.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay an hour. All right. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. This one was a little, I might have to cut up a lot of it. But eat it.
Or you leave it on, you know, I don't know.
We'll see what happens.
It's real life over here. This is real life.
Find us on the social media platform. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.
.com.